All right, so today we come back to Revelation, and we're going to do our best to tie this up and put a bow on it for everybody. It's been such a blessing to me to go through Revelation. In the years prior to when we began this, I had a few people suggest that I teach through Revelation or preach through Revelation, and my excuse always was, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to do it. There's a lot there. And I don't know it very well. I remember, and I keep thinking of the elders who have now gone with the Lord. Ron Calkins he taught through Revelation with a small group of men, and it was a real blessing to them. And so he's like, you know, Chris, if I can do it, you can do it. Just get into it and go. And I think that's really what it takes, is just getting into it, learning it well enough to teach it and studying it together, and pretty soon you've accomplished it. So today we'll look at verses 10 and following, and then I wanted to leave you with just a few thoughts, overarching thoughts regarding Revelation as we conclude this Sunday. Our Father, we thank you for your word that you've given us, and as we look through this passage today, we notice the authority of your word and the preservation of your word, that we're not to add to it or take away from it. And we thank you, Father, that every word of Scripture, including Revelation, is your word. And as such, it carries your authority. When we read it or teach it, it is as though you are standing here speaking it. And you are, we believe. So help us, Father, to receive it like that, and to humble ourselves and to be taught of you. We thank you, Father. We pray that you would bless us as we work our way through this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. So beginning in verse 10, and he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. But the one who wishes, take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. So, coming back to where we began in verse 10, he tells him to not seal up the words of the prophecy of the book. I think what is going on here is he's thinking of the book of Daniel, where the words of that prophecy were to be sealed up. But these weren't. These were to be made open for all to read. He wants everyone to read it, all the believers to read Revelation, and I suppose anybody who would want to hear them to read it, not to hide it away. And I tell you, you know, I'm guilty. I think we're all guilty of not closely studying the book of Revelation for fear that we don't know it very well or it might be really difficult. But the Holy Spirit has given this to us freely. And the book of Revelation is given to be a blessing, to be a comfort to the church in these last days in which we are living. So I think he certainly doesn't want us to hide it away. Now we notice the words in verse 11, which we might look at and wonder, wow, what? It's kind of interesting how he says, just let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy, and the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. The times in which this is given, and this is very pertinent to us today, are times in which you and I need to continue to endure in our faith in Jesus. There are a lot of people who aren't enduring in Jesus. We live in a world filled with people who don't know Jesus. You don't have to go too far. You can just turn on the news or pick up a newspaper and begin to read of the filth, the unrighteousness, the lies that are in our nation. And it's getting worse and worse, isn't it? In our home, we receive a newspaper called the Epoch Times. And I've told my wife 3 or 4 times, I don't like to read this paper because every time I read it, I am so discouraged at what is taking place. Injustices abound. Wickedness abounds. But notice, the church perseveres. The church continues to practice righteousness. Why? Because the church's Savior is triumphant. And the Spirit of our Savior, who indwells us, moves us to be triumphant too. So, we remember, even I'm thinking here of Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, which says, many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly. None of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. So the end time is going to bring a very sharp division between those who are Jesus' people and those who are not. So can I ask a question? And this is part, as we're wrapping up Revelation, this is part of the reason Revelation is given to us. So we can discern the times in which we live. Have you noticed that this division in our culture has become even sharper in the last 5 years or year? It really has. Did anyone listen to the State of the Union address? What did you think about what the president said to the Supreme Court justices regarding the overturn of Roe v. Wade? Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I think that the comments that he made, including the terrible comments that he made to the Supreme Court justices, shows this ever-increased sharp division between righteousness and evil in the world. Now let's think about this. And I know you all in this room, we hate abortion. We agree that the unjust ending of any human life, the Bible calls murder. Well, you would think that most normal people, even those who don't know the Lord, would agree. But they don't. They don't. And so these ever sharp divisions. Now, we can't control it. And I think that's part of why we see this this passive voice here. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. The church is to be faithful to Jesus. and to faithfully put the word out. But I love this. And the one who is holy still keep himself holy. We need to remain holy. We need to remain in Jesus by faith. We need to keep obeying Jesus. We need to be, as the Spirit gives us strength, to be continuing to keep the Ten Commandments. Even in light of the wickedness in this world. And we might say, well, okay, well, why? Verse 12. Behold. Behold. What's the word behold mean anyway? It's in my Bible a lot, but I don't think we really grasp it much, do we? Pay attention. Yes, it's like he's saying, wake up. Realize how true this is. And his next words are very important. Behold, I am coming quickly. Pay serious attention. Take this seriously. I am coming quickly. And this is Jesus's words. And my reward is with me. I'm coming as judge to render every man according to what he's done. Now, we had a wonderful explanation of that back in Revelation chapter 20 and also 21. And we've talked at length about the books. The book of works and then the book of life. Somebody might say, well, who is this one who's coming as judge? Ah, he's going to tell us. Verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega. We ask, well, what's that? I didn't take Greek. And he tells us, I am the first and the last. So he is demonstrating and speaking of his absolute sovereignty over this entire world. Jesus Christ is the firstborn among all humanity. He created us. He is the Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last, also the beginning and the end. And if you think about this a little bit, this is actually really interesting. Because not only was Jesus there at the first moment of creation, but he's also here when everything is coming to conclusion in his judgment and where he's going to recreate. He was there at the beginning and he was there at the end. Many false messiahs have come and gone, but not Jesus. He came, he is, and he's here to stay, and he's always here. He is eternal. 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Well, is Jesus telling us here that we need to do our laundry? What's going on? Washing the robes refers, we know this, that by faith we believe that Jesus' death on the cross washes us of our sins, purifies us. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so it reminds us that we, even as believers, need to be reminded our robes are only washed in that fountain of Jesus' blood and righteousness and grace. That's the only way. We don't improve ourselves. We don't make ourselves better. We must be washed in his blood. And it is through Jesus Christ and that washing by his blood that we have the right to the tree of life. I love how he puts that. Isn't that beautiful? John says that in John chapter 1 too, doesn't he? Not John chapter 2, John chapter 1. Uses this language of right. He says it's not the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but the will of God, that he gave them the right to become the sons of God. And I love that. That the way to the tree of life, the way that we gain access, and not only access, but a right to it, is through the blood of Jesus. Wow. and may enter by the gates into the city. You know, the city you see speaking of here, the New Jerusalem, the city that he just described in glorious detail in verses 1 through 6 and 7. We remember too in those descriptions of the city that there's many people that won't be allowed in. Chapter 21, verse 27. Notice nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He says in 15 of chapter 22, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters. Jesus has a lot to say about sin and sinfulness and the results of sin and sinfulness. He has a lot to say about himself and his gospel and the results of his gospel and the rights that they take. So we get into the new city by Jesus. We get excluded from the city, not we, but those who, by excluding faith in Jesus. He says this over and again. So outside are the sorcerers and the immoral, the unsaved. Well, where are they if they're outside? You remember? After the great white throne judgment, where did he place them? In eternal hell, the lake of fire. That is a place for all unbelievers. You know, they maybe were very wonderful people in this world that did lots of good. Maybe attended a church. Maybe were members of a church just like us. But when it came down to it, they never knew Jesus. They're not granted permission to enter. So begin a kind of a new paragraph here with Jesus' words in verse 16. And I love this, how Jesus continues to self-identify himself. We recall rather quickly that he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. The I am statement there, it's uncanny. I am. He's claiming equality with Yahweh, with the Lord. I am. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. He wants to make sure that we know that his existence, his birth, who he is, that it's all tied to the one who had been long awaited from the Old Testament, the Son of David. What does he mean, do you think, by where he says he's the root and the descendant of David? He's the one who comes forth through David's offspring and David's ancestry, right? He's the one who the prophet Nathan prophesied of to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that he tells David, your throne is going to be an everlasting throne. Well, not long after that, David dies. Well, how is this throne supposed to be an everlasting throne if he died and is buried in Israel somewhere? It's because there's going to be a greater David, the son of David, not the first son of David, but a great grandson, descendant of David will come, and he will be Messiah. What wonderful hope and promises we see and receive here. So we notice too the word testify. It's used three times in this conclusion. We see it first in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify. We see it also in verse 20. He who testifies to these things. And we see it again, and I didn't highlight in my Bible, but it's somewhere in here. Verse 18, again, Jesus says, I testify to everyone who hears. So this concept of testimony is highlighted with this repetition. The authority of Jesus, which is the authority of God, He here is calling all of us to embrace these promises and to live in light of the hope of His coming. So, I love how He puts this too in verse 17. And let the one who hears, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Well, the Spirit is whom? The Holy Spirit. And we get a lot of confusion. You know, Dan did a good job in his message recently where he talked about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does in the world. And how a lot of people want to assign a lot of different things to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Seriously. Gold dust. People were putting gold dust in the ductwork of a church here. They left. The church is still charismatic, but not that charismatic. And they were claiming that this was the work of the Holy Spirit. So all of these charlatans, your Benny Hinn, all of these faith healing people, these are all fake. Still very, very thankful for the truth that has come out and has been publicized through the American gospel and their videos and movies. The Spirit's job is what? Is to bring us to Jesus and to keep us in Jesus. The Spirit is saying, come. Of course He is. His job is to bring people to Jesus. The bride also says what? Come. Who's the bride? Us. What's He saying then? The believers? The churches? And this work in conjunction with the Spirit, crying out to the world, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. This is so beautiful. And it highlights the passion and the grace and the mercy of our God. After He says so many things about judgment, I mean, we read those judgment texts and they are horrible. But He still stands with His hands out. And His Spirit is saying, come, go to Jesus, go to Jesus. He will not refuse anyone who comes to Him by faith. Let the one who hears say, come. What do you suppose that's a reference to? Who gives us ears to hear? The Holy Spirit. And this is a refrain we've heard often in Revelation. Remember the warnings that He gave to the seven churches in the beginning. The one who hears, come. We really, truly need to hear the voice of God that brings conviction. And I can't describe it to you, but I know that if you have heard it and you still hear it as you read your Bible, as you hear us preaching, you know exactly what it is. And He is so powerful and so compelling. The one who hears, let him come. Don't go anywhere else. Don't go over down the street where they're going to give you all these rules and regulations of what you must do. Just go to Jesus. Notice too, let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost come. Again, He's borrowing that language from Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone who is thirsty, come. Ho, everyone who can come and buy milk from Me without cost. And this was part of the admonition and the warning that they gave to the church of Laodicea, who was very wealthy and very rich and very proud of themselves because they could buy everything. Except you can't buy Jesus. You can't buy the gospel. It's free. A wonderful promise to those who don't have money. Now that brings us here to this next segment, the next testify. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. Now, this is borrowed from Deuteronomy. And it's repeated here once again as a help to us. And I believe not only does this refer to just the book of Revelation, but it also refers to the entire Bible. You don't mess around with the Word of God. We certainly don't want to misinterpret it, but you don't take away from it. You don't add to it. Oh, and how many groups around? You know, and I'm not no one's master or trying to condemn. I just want to give you a heads up. How many groups around here are adding to it? We got in the mail the book, The Great Controversy, written by Ellen G. White, who the Seventh-day Adventist claimed to be a prophetess, receiving thousands of extra-biblical messages from God that she wrote in a book. Her husband, probably a believer, he believed that she was crazy, nuts, out of her mind. And yet that group continues to put this up. They send a copy to our church. If they sent one to your home, please do yourself and do all of us a favor. Just toss it in the trash or burn it or whatever. And I'm sorry to say that those who add to the Bible, like Ellen White, like the Book of Mormon, they prove that their garments have not been washed. They have not obeyed. And guys, we need to be really careful too. In our circles, that you know, we love our books, but they're not the Bible. We are about to embark on a confession. The confession is just a tool. I look at the confession as though it were like a shoehorn to get your foot into the shoe. That's one way of describing it. But it's there as a guide to help us understand and interpret. Not inspired. We're not adding to it or taking away from the Bible in any way, shape, or form. But Jesus lays these warnings out here. There's been a lot of people that have added to it. So can we talk about the Galatians for a moment? Isn't that what those Judaizers were doing? Hey guys, I think you're missing something here. Jesus isn't enough. No, you need to be circumcised and be sure to bring yourself back under the law of Moses in addition to Jesus. That's why Paul says they're accursed. Paul's agreeing with Jesus, isn't he? They're accursed. They're accursed. So, verses 20 and 21, he who testifies to these things says what? Yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Do you realize you and I have probably never met another believer who wasn't excited and ready and waiting for Jesus to return. In fact, if they don't want Jesus to return, they may not be a believer. Maybe we can help them to become a believer and to get themselves ready. I could go on here with different stories about helping people as they passed from this life and unto the next. I remember one man. And you know him. His name is Bill. He was excited. As he was getting close, he was excited to go home and meet the Lord through death. Jesus was coming to him. But we are all excited about the second coming of Jesus. Why? We've washed our robes. We know that when we stand before His judgment seat, we say, Jesus, the only reason I should ever enter into your heaven is because of you and what you've done and what you've given to me through your righteousness and through your cross. There's nothing good in me. So those who testify to these things, who testify of Jesus, who testify of the gospel, who testify of the hope of revelation, are excited to see their conqueror come. We can't wait. And finally here, his benediction. Such a good and fitting benediction. We've heard this many times, and it's very similar in many other books. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Or so be it. His confirmation of these things. We have just a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to lead you to think of just a couple of things. You know, so all this with Revelation. What does it have to do with us in an applicatory way? Well, it allows us to see our situation in the world very truthfully, doesn't it? I've tried very hard to do that, for us to see it not just them then, but also us now. in terms of persecution, in terms of tyranny and evil governments, in terms of the church that we see who is running her race very well, in terms even of those false prophets that seem to have filled up most of the bookshelves in popular Christian bookstores and the airwaves in places like TBN. This allows us, Revelation allows us to see our enemies in their true colors. Referring again, the beast, the power of the government, which is symbolized in the beast, can accomplish great good, but also do many things. We're also able to see the false prophet, just referred to that. We're also able to see the harlot in our world today as well. And finally, and I think most importantly, Revelation helps us see our champion. It helps us see that we will be victorious just like Jesus was and is. So it's not a big deal if we're martyred, put to death for our faith. We never die as believers. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, does not die, Jesus says, John 11:25. And we know that these short little lives of ours are merely a passageway through which we enter into eternal bliss with Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we can endure. The church in Revelation shows us that with Jesus' help, and with us by faith washing our garments, we will endure even the nastiest of persecution and slander. And the other thought is we're able to see ourselves in our true beauty. When we have studied recently just the New Jerusalem and all of the saints here who are able to see Him face to face, and we shine with Him as bright lights. We shine with Him as those whose robes have been washed purely and perfectly white in His blood. We see the church itself is beautiful because Christ has made us and has built us and is continuing to build us and grow us. And God is moving all events in the world today toward us succeeding in Jesus and Jesus coming back and ultimately for our good, even though we can't see it very well right now. So friends, keep your hope and your heart in Jesus and keep your mind in Revelation 21 and 22, and we will all be there together. What a wonderful hope we have. Does anybody have another thought or a question before we say amen? Okay. We did it. We finished Revelation. Looking forward to starting the confession with you all the Sunday after Easter, and then next Sunday our dear brother Cal here will be bringing a lesson as I'll be helping another church with their ordination. Father, thank you for your Lord's Day. Thank you for every soul that you're bringing in now and will bring in. Please exalt your Son, the Lord Jesus, among us today. We ask this in His name. Amen.